Hello, everyone. This is Louis Patron bringing you Spooky Talk with me, Wes Lou. Thank you for joining me tonight. Let's talk. This has been a great week, full of all kinds of activity, unusual activity, things that were expected, unexpected. As I say on my TV show, internet show, it's a crazy world we live in. We've got a lot of things we can talk about tonight, some suggestions. We talk about sequestration. Well, we can talk about the Time magazine article on the why for medical costs being so high. Absolutely outstanding article. If you haven't read it, read it. Time magazine last week on why we're getting nailed with such expensive medical costs for hospitals and for doctors. How about some Syracuse basketball here? I know for sure. I had some friends from Syracuse watching, and we had a very bad week getting killed by Georgetown. So we'd like to chat about that a bit. The Pope. I've got a lot to say on the Pope. In fact, I think I may be writing an article this week for Conk Life, the newspaper column I write once a week. I avoided it, writing it last week when I wanted to write it because I was trying to be respectful and fearful. I'm a Catholic. Not a good one, but I'm a Catholic, but I've got to say some things that I'm going to say in the newspaper article. Then there was the Italian election yesterday, which had a very interesting result. There's also the balloon crash, the hot air balloon crash in Egypt. I was on one of those 3 years ago in Arizona. I can relate not to the crash, but to the ride and the size of everything. And then people have been talking about Michelle Obama this week and the propriety of our First Lady being on the Academy Awards. People have nothing better to do than raise issues like this. Okay, this is a call-in show. Call me up. I want to talk with you. Agree with me. Disagree with me. The guest call-in number is on your screen, but I'll state it for you. It is 646-478-5731. Again, call in and ask a question, agree, disagree, please call in at 646-478-5731. All right, let me start talking a bit about sequestration. I don't really understand this. I don't think anyone really understands it. What it seems to be is they couldn't agree back in 2011, so they set up a number that was so terrible that if they couldn't agree now or at the end of last year, indeed this past December, it would be terrible for the economic security and life of our country. Well, they couldn't agree. They extended it 2 months more. It goes into effect Friday. The Democrats aren't talking to the Republicans. The president is talking to Boehner. I don't know what's going on. All I know is if what they're saying is correct, we're going to have some hard times because of this. I'm told the impact won't be right away. It'll take 60 or 90 days for us to feel the impact of what's happening. I think that they're going to have $87 billion in cuts. Sounds like a lot of money to me. It has to sound like a lot of money to you. On the other hand, it's a drop of water in the ocean when it comes to our entire deficit or debt, which is like, I don't know how many trillions of dollars. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm uncomfortable because these idiots, and I will call them idiots in Washington, cannot agree how to run our country. We elect them to do these things, and they can't. This is dysfunction at its worst. You heard me, dysfunction at its worst. It is not fair to you. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to anyone in our country. It's not fair to the world. Because if these guys get us screwed up, the whole economic system in the world is going to fail. We're the only thing keeping that thing up right now. As bad as we are, we still are better than most countries. So I don't know. I can't understand why men cannot sit down and look at each other. I was a lawyer all my life. I had to negotiate every day. You give and you take. No one ever comes out with 100%. And that was, I always considered if both sides were a bit unhappy, that was a good settlement because that meant both had to give a little bit to get the bigger number. And that's the way it goes here, but I guess these guys are just not men. They may be big little boys in big men's pants. They should be wearing short pants. So sequestration is upon us. I read somewhere 90,000 people are going to be laid off in Texas over the next 90 days. Man, that would be crazy, especially since Texas is a red state, a Republican state. They're talking about all kinds of bad things happening in Virginia with the military defense industry. They're talking about federal employees in certain parts of the government having to go on four-day work weeks instead of five. You say, well, that isn't bad. They still got a job. Would you like to have a 20% cut in salary permanently for long term? No. So anyone want to talk about sequestration? Call me and tell me. Call me and tell me that the Republicans are right the way they're handling it. I don't believe it. I'm happy to discuss it with anyone. The guest call-in number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. Time Magazine last week, it's a weekly magazine. And last week, their edition came out with it, their main article being, it was titled something like Bitter Pill, Why Increased Medical Costs Are Killing the American Public. Killing was their term. Bitter pill was their term. Increased medical costs were their terms, whatever way it goes. Excellent article. Outstanding. You must read it. You're not going to believe. I think I'm an intelligent man. I was not aware of many of the things in there. I'm going to tell you, the doctors in the hospitals, especially the hospitals, have a setup to kill us when you walk in the door. I mean, you know, we've all had to go to the emergency room. We fell, but we broke our arm or something. The bill was $8,000, $13,000. For 3 hours, they looked at us and said, you're okay, go home. Or you go in with chest pains. You think you had a heart attack. $13,000 later and 3 hours later, you're told to go home and indigestion. Well, what's surprising are the hospitals have a chart of costs. All the hospitals use the chart, okay? And the chart gets updated periodically, so the prices are increased. And some of the things in there, this is terrific. I mean, practicing law was a business, too. I had to run a law firm, and I had to make sure I had a profit. But this is going a step too far, what I am going to tell you next. The hospitals charge for the ink in a fountain pen that the nurses use when they write your charts, their report. They come in, they take your blood pressure, they put the thermometer in your mouth, they walk out, they go to their desk, they write in the chart, your temperature was this and this was that. The ink in the ballpoint pen, it has been computed how much ink is used per average patient per day. They charge you for that. How about Tylenol? Tylenol, they use the generic for Tylenol, which you can buy for $1.50 a bottle over Amazon, $1.50 a bottle for $100. The hospital charges $1.50 a pill, the same generic. And they're not paying $1.50 a bottle like you and I might have to pay at Amazon. They're getting it much less because they buy in bulk. But in any event, they charge $1 for what they're paying $1.50 or less for $100. When they draw your blood, it's an automatic $36. Then they charge for whatever stuff the test they have to do. They charge also if they have to put a needle in your arm and they have to give you something a shot for this and a shot for that. Whatever goes into you, they charge for that too, big time. Everything is in multiples like you would not believe. A very unfair situation. Not-for-profit hospitals. I was on the board of a hospital back in Utica, New York, years ago. And we were always trying to raise money. I was on that board that raised money for the hospital because it was a poor, not-for-profit hospital. It was the biggest employer in the city, but it was a not-for-profit and they needed money. Turns out this article says that less than 1% of the income of a not-for-profit hospital in this country comes from contributions, donations. The rest of it comes from the money they make on the services they render or sell to you and me, their customer. And hospitals make a lot of money today. There's nothing wrong with a not-for-profit making money, not against the law. The advantage is you don't have to pay taxes on it. Many, if not most, not-for-profit hospitals are making in the millions of dollars in profit. 65 million, 85 million, a bigger hospital, 650 million. That's a lot of money. And they're crying poverty all the time. Would you believe, this is hard to believe, that the CEOs running these hospitals are making 750,000, million two a year, one fell a million, eight a year. The bigger hospitals have several people making in excess of $1 million a year who run and administer the hospital. We're getting killed. We're getting ripped off. And the insurance companies, this is what I really don't understand, who are misers. They don't want to pay anybody for anything. They get away. They don't complain. You never hear about the insurance company saying these costs the hospitals are charging are atrocious. And why? Because when they have to pay, they get a discount from the hospital. They'll get a 35 to 50% discount. It averages close to 50%. Well, if they have a $1,000 bill and only have to pay $500, they don't care that the hospital should only legitimately have charged $50 or $100 for the service because they just saved $500 on that. So the insurance companies are complicit in the way this whole thing is operating. And then let me tell you this that I learned. The biggest lobby in Washington, and I have always thought that the oil industry, the insurance industry, the military-industrial complex industry had the biggest and the most expensive lobbyists in the United States, you know, beating the hell out of our people in Washington and bribing them, in effect, to put in legislation that was favorable to them. The people I just mentioned are kids. They're in the $1.3 billion to $1.8 billion range. The hospitals lobby, and I'm including in this, there are several lobby groups, and this includes nursing homes and everything else, pharmaceutical houses, it's close to $6 billion they pay lobbyists in Washington to gain favor with our elected representatives. I think that's absolutely wild. Read the article. You can read it on the Internet. It's free. Just put Time Magazine in, Medical Costs Too High. Stephen Brill, B-R-I-L-L, wrote the article. Terrific investigative reporter. He did something on lawyers several years ago that blew my mind. Great article. Don't miss it. Read it. Okay, my friend, something's wrong here. 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. Just call me to tell me you can hear me. I'm shocked I don't have anyone calling me tonight because people who have written to me or talk to me and are inclined to argue with some positions I take on the television internet show, or I may write in a newspaper column, and we'll have, you know, friendly discussions. I don't agree with you. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to tell you, on the daily blog I write every day, I occasionally throw in something of a political nature, my opinion, and I tend to be a bit liberal. I won't deny it. Sometimes way to the left. Generally, I like to think I'm just off center, though. In any event, I've got people who write to me. I love them dearly. We become friends. I don't know these people, but they harass the hell out of me. And, in effect, they're telling me what an idiot I am all the time. Some are Tea Party people. Some are conservatives or extremely far to the right. We don't agree. I challenge them. Call me. Let's have a discussion that the whole world can hear. Where are you? 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. Okay, we talked about, what was that, Time Magazine. Terrific. I'm going to talk about Syracuse basketball. Now, I know that there's a fellow out in Las Vegas who wrote to me and said, Lewis, I'm going to call you. We're going to talk about basketball. This is what his notes say. An old friend that I haven't seen maybe in 25 years. It's been years. Maybe once in 25 years. I'm not hearing from him, but Syracuse basketball, what a terrible year. I mean, we've been in the top 10. I don't think we have been out of the top 10. And last week we played Georgetown. We're number 8 in the country. They're number 11. They killed us. They killed us. And the week before, Connecticut, who should not have beaten us, beat us. And this Wednesday night, we have to play Connecticut again, though I believe we will beat them. Probably because the guys on the Syracuse team are going to be all gooshed up and ready to go. They got to make up for the Georgetown beat. Coach Boeheim said Syracuse lost because they weren't shooting well. And every game they've lost this year, and this was only 5 games, we've won 22. But every game they have lost, they lost because of poor shooting. Well, there was no question we weren't shooting well. We couldn't get our 3-point shots up. We couldn't get them off in the middle, and we couldn't get them off effectively under the basket. But the reason we couldn't get these shots up and put them in the hole, put them in the basket, was because of the zone defense Georgetown threw up against us. Syracuse uses the zone defense for defense. I don't remember the last time Syracuse played a team that put a zone defense up against Syracuse. Normally, the other teams play us man-to-man. They defend man-to-man. Well, about 8 minutes into the game, with Syracuse winning by about 8 points, Georgetown starts a zone defense. I couldn't believe it. They pushed our guys out. They were in our three-point shooters' faces. They kept the center closed in. And when the ball did get to the guy in the middle on our team, he was already out past the foul line, not behind it. And when they got under the basket, there were always two guys to put in a block or make an appropriate foul. We lost by, I think, 11 points. It sounds like a close game. It wasn't. We looked terrible, terrible, terrible. Georgetown looked terrific. They deserved the win. Both teams played great defensive basketball. The score was 50-something to 40-something, I think. But we didn't look good. And I don't think we're going to go very far in the big tournament March. I am very concerned, ultra concerned. But then again, you don't know. I'm negative. I got to say, I've been negative most of the season. I keep writing I'm negative. And then I get faith when they have this great victory on a Wednesday night or something. But after the Georgetown game, after the Connecticut game, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anymore. And it bothers me. I'm going to tell you because my blood runs orange. I'm a proud Syracuse graduate. I'm a fanatic for Syracuse basketball. I know there are a lot of other fanatics out there like me. So call me up and talk to me about Syracuse basketball, okay? Where are you? 646-478-5531. 646-478-5731. It makes me think when I don't get a call in tonight, because I was sure people were going to call in, that maybe my phone isn't on. But if I go to check it, I'm going to lose this whole show and you. So I've got to assume that I did everything right hooking up, because I've got a screen here that tells me I am on. So that's that, and the clock is running. But I haven't got any callers. See, if you call in, you're going to give me your first name, and I'm going to see your first name and your telephone number, and then I know I've got a caller. And there ain't no names or telephone numbers in that box. So please call in 646-478-5731. I'm not ashamed to ask you to call in. I moved the show from the early morning to the night. I know, based on the numbers, this blog radio is terrific, by the way. I'll have, within 12 hours, how many people were listening, how many people called in, which is the people calling, it's 50-0 right now, but how many people listened in. And then this show is repeated during the week on Twitter and Facebook and 6 other social sites. And a little box will come up and say, listen to what Lewis said on Tuesday Talk or Key West Lou said. More people look at that than listen to the show and read and watch it there. It's amazing. I mean, tremendously more, pick it up during the week rather than now. But I'll get the numbers, and I know my numbers get better every week, and they got to be significantly better this week. But they do me no good if I can't talk to you. 646-478-5731. Let's talk about Pope Benedict. I am Catholic. He grieves me. I'm a fall-in-the-way Catholic. I haven't been to church in years. I'm neither proud of it, nor am I ashamed of it. That's just the way it is with Lewis and how my life went. Even though and although I am a product of a Catholic grammar school, high school, and college. I don't know. I can't explain it, but that's the way life is, I guess. It bothered me when the Pope announced he was going to retire. Popes don't retire. It just doesn't happen. It would like be Obama announcing tomorrow he's going to retire. You know, it's too much. This is a beating I got to take. Screw it. I'm all done. The next 3 years, let somebody else have the aggravation. The Pope's old. I recognize that, Pope Benedict. But popes die in office. You know, they've got huge staff. They've got more people working for them than they have for the President of the United States. The Vatican operation is huge. So he's going to quit. He's tired. He's old. He can't make good judgment. We only had this happen once in the history of the Catholic Church in the year, sometime in the 1200s. And that's only because the church had trouble at the time and broke into two different groups, and each group elected a pope. When they made the peace and got back together, one of the popes couldn't be pope anymore, and he resigned. That's the only time. Now, we have a multitude of problems in the Catholic Church. And this is the reason why I think the pope's getting out. And now, often, not only is he getting out, he's retiring. In 3 weeks, he's going to be retired. In fact, he's going to be retired tomorrow, I think, or the next day, Thursday, at 8 o'clock in the evening. And already the other popes, the cardinals are flying to Rome to elect a new pope. So one, he's retiring when popes don't. Number two, he gives 3 weeks' notice, which is strange. Number three, now, the talk started last week, and now even the cardinals are talking about it. Since there is no pope to bury, no one died here, maybe they should accelerate the time process under canon law where they can meet and elect a new pope. Instead of waiting 3 weeks, I think, for the first meeting to elect, let's do it right away because we know how everything stands. And so that's what they're going to do. Oh, my God. Somebody's on the line. I don't know who. It's a 305. Okay, let me see. Hope I can do this right. Okay. Hello? No? Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Hello.
I would like to comment on the Catholic Church.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to hear those.
Well, I believe, or I'm thinking, that perhaps there's a big scandal abrew and he wants to step down before he's caught in the middle of it. Do you have any comment on that?
I agree. I agree with you. And I suspect, I thought initially the scandal might have to do with the Vatican Bank. The Vatican Bank's a huge bank. And for the last
year,
they're
very rich.
Under investigation for money laundering. And I thought that might be a problem because about 3 months ago, the authorities, which is unusual for the city of Rome, attached the Vatican Bank's account and took $20 million out of it. Oof. I don't know what's going on. They got that problem. They got the gay priest. They got the pedophilia problem. What do you think is the problem?
Everything that you've named, all
okay.
of the above, yes. They're in trouble. I think they're in trouble.
They're in trouble. I understand they did some other bad things, too, purportedly. But somehow there have been some communications coming out of the Vatican involving Jews and Muslims that have not been nice. The church has spoken offensively of Jews and Muslims recently. And then you had the problem with the personal butler to the Pope, who leaked Vatican documents, and he ended up going to jail. There are many complaints that the church is failing. It's failing to try to reconcile with fallen away Catholics such as me, And also that they are not pursuing people who have stopped believing in God. There is an increasing number of people in the world who no longer believe in God. What do you think about that?
I agree with you. I don't think the Catholic Church should make that their doctrine to change that thought process. But I really enjoy your show, Lou, and I listen to you every week, and I wish more people would call in to give us more controversy. Thank you for doing this show.
Thank you, and thank you for calling. We love you dearly. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Hello again. Now, because it's so unusual for people to call in, and I'm glad this is Dee. Dee's a smart woman. She's a smart woman because she called in, obviously. But no, Dee's a smart woman. I've known her for 25 years off and on. She has a PhD in psychology, teaches at the University of Massachusetts, lives on Cape Cod, has a home down here in Cudjoe Beach, and recently drove down to spend some time here in the Keys in the warm weather to get away from the Massachusetts snow. She's got her head screwed on straight in most regards, and it's always a pleasure for me when I do see her, which is about every 5 to 10 years. We have good, healthy talks because she's a good communicator, and she knows what she's talking about, and she stands by her position. You know, there's another problem that they're complaining about with the church. The Vatican Bank thing, by the way, is huge. This is huge because they say it's money laundering, and I think there are going to be indictments of people wearing black cassocks, the priests, before we're done. And that's a bad thing if there's money laundering going on. That would mean drug money, probably, and things like that. Prostitution money is going through the Catholic Church's bank. So who knows? I'm not speaking badly about my church. I think like Pope John 30, 40 years ago, if you recall, he opened up the doors and the windows to the church and let everybody in to see what was going on. I think it is time for the Catholic Church to have another Pope John and open the doors and the windows to let some fresh air in, some free thinking, and let everybody see what's really going on. I do not believe Pope Benedict has been a good Pope. I've got to say that. He hasn't been a bad Pope. He's been a run-of-the-mill Pope, probably. He's too doctrinaire. He has not budged on birth control. He has not budged on abortion, even where things may not be abortion. He's like a Republican conservative, too far to the right. The church is losing members. In the United States alone, in the last 10 years, the attendance at Sunday Mass has dropped by 2/3. In Italy, the attendance has dropped by 90% in the last 10 years. In Italy, because of pedophilia. There were too many priests involved with the little boys. In the United States, guess what? This show's gone by fast. We're running out of time. I've got a little bit more than a minute left. Well, I'm glad you listened. I'm glad, Dee, I love you dearly that you called in. You're a wonderful person. I owe you dinner, my friend. And we're not going to have much more to talk about. I was going to talk about Michelle Obama. People are being critical because she was on TV at the Academy Awards. I thought, what a great thing to do. What a wonderful thing for her to do. It's one of America's biggest industries. Everyone goes to the movies. Everyone loves the movies. Why shouldn't our president's wife participate in it? And it was a class act, the whole thing. So nothing wrong with the president's lady appearing on television, in my opinion, at the Academy Awards. Okay, we're running down for our last few seconds. I thank you for joining me. I ask that you join me again next week for Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou, and we'll see what happens. Call me up, because I'm going to tell you, Bob Marks, where are you? Tom Dixon, where were you tonight? Virgil, where were you? I'm waiting for people to call me. I love talking with you. Have a good evening, and bye.